Hey guys, welcome back to the Not Without Merit podcast, episode 11, NFL Free Agency Week, Division 2 Week, take your pick. I am Jake, with me is Mike.
What is up everybody, and joining us as always is Ben.
I picked both, because both are enemy good stuff.
Yes, we none of us ponying up the extra dough to get the fancy version.
Fronts did.
We do have some secondhand knowledge, and it all sounds good, but no firsthand.
He can't grind it too hard because the game starts having problems if he plays it too long.
That was a problem with the beta. So
yeah, the beta had that as well.
And apparently, it's still a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, that's a...
All you got to do is turn it off for a minute.
Yeah, you just restart the game. It's basically like some weird memory leak, so I'm sure that's going to be a patch. But either way, hey, with games releasing in various broken states, I'll take that.
Oh, yeah.
If that's the only day one issue, I'm good.
That's fair.
But, yeah. So we'll be talking about a lot of Division II next week, but we will be talking a lot about NFL free agency come the end of the show. But for now, let's talk about games. I basically only played one game last week, and that game is Hollow Knight. Yes, I played through essentially, I think I started it maybe a little before last week's episode, but I put, like, all my playtime. I'm at, like, 18 hours played. I hit... rolled credits, finished it, beat the final boss. I'm at like 86%.
How many endings have you done?
Just the first one.
Okay.
I was at that point, I'm like, well, I could just grind out all these optional bosses to get the upgraded Dream Nail, or I can just at least fight the final boss now and get that out of the way. So I got that out of the way, and now I'm fighting all the Dream bosses.
Yeah, that's what I did, too.
So, yeah I'm working towards that 112%, and, oh, man, I looked at what some of the stuff that entails, and ooh, man,
it sucks.
It's rough. I mean, not having to do a Steel Soul run, I would say, is a fair trade.
I don't even know what that is.
That's a permadeath run.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the in-game, because like the Steam achievement list and the in-game achievements for that game have both a Steel Soul run and I believe a Steel Soul speed run for like the in-game achievements, but they kind of seem to have modified a lot of those for the PS4.
Speedrun, I wouldn't mind. I feel like once you know the layout of that game and you know what's required, it wouldn't be that bad.
Open and kind of optional a lot of the fights in that game are.
Yeah.
Like you could, I'm sure there is a really good
speedrun.
Yeah, a real good speedrun route for that game. Because I
wonder what the speedrun record is. I'll look it up.
A couple hours at most, maybe 2-3 hours. But yeah, I loved it just as much as I did the first time around. I mean, I think it probably like solidified. It's easily, as far as Metroidvanias go, number two. Easily. Symphony of the Night, obviously, is the king. It's real close. It's a neck and neck race. Like, I think maybe another playthrough of this game might push it over the top, but easily number two for me. Just, I love everything about this game. You know, the map obviously has, you know, the one glaring issue of the game, but it doesn't detract from the experience enough for me to, like, feel that I'm, you know, feel cheated or, you know, negative.
It doesn't become a problem after a few hours. It just sucks in the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, you kind of keep that compass charm equipped on you at all times. It kind of negates most of the issue with the map. But either way, so yeah, I'm on my 112% run at this point, so I'm just going to be grinding out optional content here. A lot of the collectibles, optional fights. I think I'm still missing like 5 or 6 charms, but...
Did you get all the... grub dudes yet?
I don't have them all. I guess if you went in that room and counted, you could see I'm close. I'm pretty sure I'm under like 10, because I think there's only like 45-ish or 40-ish
something like
of them.
That. Yeah,
yeah. And I gotta be close. I mean, yeah. I'm at the point where it's like, all right, bring out the.
I still got 600 essence. You fucking madman.
I mean, it's.
I gotta. There's so much you've already surpassed me doing, so I've got to get back on
like those dream fights. Like the one I finished last night gave me 300 in just that one fight.
Oh, really? You get them from doing the fights? Yeah. I thought it was only from the trees. Okay.
No. You getting all the trees gets you like.
A couple hundred.
500 if you do like all the trees in the game.
How many are there total? And is it required?
Oh, you mean like the dream fights?
No. It, like total essence.
Oh,
and is it required to get every single piece of it?
You don't have to do everything. I think if you want to get the 2,400, you have to do just about everything. I think there might be like one dream fight you can skip, but other than that, like you definitely have to get all the trees because I mean that's just easy.
Yeah, that I
to boss fights because I think there's seven or eight trees, and then there's six or seven dream fights. So, and then one of them is part of a DLC, but I don't think that one actually gives you
right. And I don't, the DLC counts towards 112, right? Because they include, that's kind of, it's the whole edition. So it's, that's the point.
Well, I mean, there's two trophies associated with one of the DLCs.
Yeah, so I saw that, so that, I'm going to assume so, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't believe it is. Because, like, there, someone even broke down, like, there's a guide of, like, how much percentage you get for each, like, thing
each
in the
thing
game.
Gets,
like, the charms
yeah,
are worth this.
Makes sense.
The fights are worth this, and
so many charms.
This, it's
fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm pretty close. I'm down to like the last four or five charms, and I believe most of them are. I don't think there's any left. I have to. Well, there's one I have to buy. That's the last one that you get for having all the other ones. But I think the rest of them are just from like beating bosses and the arena. The arena, surprisingly, not too bad. I got through the first two stages. I never tried it on Switch, so this is my first time taking on the arena. I heard the third level though is a fucking nightmare. And it is
not bad as in, like, you've upgraded yourself, or not bad from, like, the get-go?
As in, not bad as in I beat the first two stages on my first try.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's something I have to do. That's easily missable, too, because I finally found where it was after you said something.
It's very, you could easily walk right past the arena and never even, like, notice it's there. But, yeah, I was expecting the arena to be a lot harder. I've heard the third stage is, like, way tougher than the other two, so that's why I kind of stopped after two. I'm like, all right, I got these two out of the way. Let me put that on hold for now, because I still have one more heart container, and then one more magic container I can fill up, so I might go get those two just so I can have every advantage possible before I take on the fight, because they are long. Like, the first one is probably, I don't know, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then the second one was, like, probably 20 minutes of just straight fighting. Just, like, wave after wave of enemies. Like, one after another. But it's fun. It's a fun little challenging thing, because there's, like, kind of, like, occasionally, like, the floor will turn into spikes, and then there'll be platforms that kind of rotate in and out that you have to, like, worry about that. And then different waves of enemies come through, and there's some kind of weird modifiers that go on. But it was a fun, entertaining thing. But, yeah, that's basically my entire playtime the last week. Played a little bit of Blackout, still, you know, having fun with that. Still waiting on Trials patch to hopefully play that again, but that kind of came and went, so Trials is still on the shelf. Same with Apex. There's that whole big rumor about the Battle Pass dropping this week. That came and went, so that's kind of on the
shelf. I love that that's a rumor. That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, someone data mined out of the store like the splash page for the Battle Pass, so it's coming soon. But
you'd think they would,
like,
come out and deny that if it
they
was.
Did. Oh yeah, they came out and said, like, "Hey,
oh okay,
we see you guys are clever and are data mining all this shit. Like, yeah, we're not gonna deny any of it exists because that'd be stupid." But like, someone went into Apex Legends and they data mined like 12 characters, and they're like, "Hey, we acknowledge that they're there. That does not mean all those characters are going to be in the game. Like, we've tested out a lot of shit, and some of those characters might never even be released. But, yeah, we'll acknowledge that those characters are in the game, but we might never put out any of them. Or we might put out all of them. But that's, you know, far down the line." So then they announced that they were going to add more characters to the game. But, yeah, that's, you know, people can data mine all they want, but I'm not going to get my hopes up over data mine stuff for now, because it seems to always be like, yeah, we're working on it, it's just not today, sorry. So either way, but we got Division 2 mere days away.
I think Apex was rushed because Anthem was such a dumpster fire and EA knew it, so they wanted to distract everybody with Apex Legends.
I could buy into that. Also, maybe they weren't expecting it to be this popular, like overtaking Fortnite popular for like a sustained period.
Yeah, but it's crashed pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean,
recently,
it's still like top three on Twitch.
Oh yeah,
like all the time. But I think, I don't know if they expected it to be like 50 million players popular. Like, that's crazy. Even if it's a free game, like 50 million players is still like, that's a ridiculous number. So EA is not used to success recently with a lot of the duds they've been putting out. So maybe they have to get used to making good games again. And yeah, I mean, yeah, Anthem's a dud. You know, everything basically outside of sports, and even some of those sports games have been duds. So yeah, we'll see. I still have a lot of faith in Apex. At the core of that game is something really special. They just got to fix a lot of the dressings around it, and
I
think
free.
They will.
So
it's
like,
free. Also it's free, so whatever. If they don't fix it, whatever.
Yeah,
I had exactly. a good amount of fun in the time that I played it. So, but I
That's
I think
true.
They'll
it
get
didn't
it
cost
right.
me anything.
Yeah, I think I think that.
And you didn't spend anything in it.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah,
I wanted to wait till that battle pass came out to see if this was.
Well, that's always smart.
The mm-hmm. thing, and yeah, here we are.
But yeah, that's it for me. Just Hollow Knight and Blackout, a little bit of Rainbow.
Finishing up your Hollow Knight conversation, the any percent is 33 minutes 53 seconds. What? That's pretty quick.
Oh, I'm guessing that's probably
Damn.
A glitch of some.
Kind. No, that's glitchless, man. That's glitchless.
I gotta watch that.
Yeah, so do I. He's a Canadian. And then 112% is 3 hours, 31 minutes.
Oh, my
That seems... God. I mean, that seems quick, too, honestly.
I mean, that's because...
I got to watch that 33-minute one, though.
And that's a lot
well,
33-minute fights.
Any percent, you need to fight the three main bosses. Just getting to them, like, how do you do that in
yeah.
like, 33 minutes, 53 seconds? You... He must get the dash, like... Immediately,
yeah. That's you make you go you dash for the dash, and then you probably avoid every fight except the bosses. Like you jump around every enemy, you don't fight.
But
any.
So many of those areas have
yeah.
like no shortcuts, and it takes forever to
yeah,
traverse.
You're just dashing through everything.
It's perfect movement, probably.
Oh, yeah.
That's all what that speed run is. It's
I mean,
just perfect movement
for 33 minutes to cross what is a gigantic map. Like that's yeah. You are
it's huge.
You have dialed in that route. To a point where it's like you probably know where the enemies are, how the enemies are going to react and move to your movement, so you're
yeah, or like what passes to, or like what stations to use and what not to use, and I
right.
bet he doesn't even go to certain areas.
Oh yeah, I mean,
because there's certain areas you don't ever have to go.
Like if you want to do a
seems
beeline,
to be
the
only areas I find.
Yeah, if you want to beeline the main three ball, you could probably skip 50% of that map.
You can skip 50% of the abilities.
I mean, yeah,
half those abilities aren't even required.
I mean, all you need.
You need the dash. You'd need the. Well, I don't know how far have you gotten, Ben?
I just unlocked.
What's the last ability you got?
The hook, the jumping off the walls move.
You need the.
Well, you're
you
still pretty
that.
Early.
You probably need the wall jump. You need the dash. That's probably it.
You need the swim and poison, probably.
Maybe.
To get to certain areas, you have to.
Yeah, because I did run into
optional?
A barrier where you.
No, there's a main water. Boss in one of those areas that
is
you
there?
Have to swim.
Okay.
It's
so
the where you have to
there.
Swim under barbed under the barbs
oh,
in the poison.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way to get to that area without having
yeah.
the poison
so you need
swim.
Three, but that's still there's other main abilities you don't need.
Yeah, there's like eight or nine. There's like seven or eight.
Yeah,
but yeah,
you could. Yeah, so I know what I'm watching after this.
That's yeah, and it's only 33 minutes. So there you go.
Yeah,
you more Hollow Knight. Same thing for me. There's nothing really to report. You've surpassed me on that. I just need to catch back up on it. I put my time into two main things today, and there's not really a whole lot to talk about because the first thing is Last of Us. I need something to. I'm killing time until Sekiro at this point. So I've wanted to play Last of Us again forever, especially before 2 comes out. And so I reinstalled it, and then I noticed that when I transferred over, that was one of the games that my save stuff just never got transferred over. So, whatever. I'm starting it from the beginning again, and I'm doing an all collectibles run since I never got those trophies. There's a lot of shit in that game. Jesus Christ. Like, all the jokes she tells and all the
optional
conversations
yeah.
you have to listen. And some of those are really easily missable. Yes,
Ugh.
Because I hate myself.
Ugh.
I've died one shot to almost everything.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I remember a good portion of, I'm still very early on. Tess is still, spoiler for like a 9-year-old, 8-year-old game,
yeah,
whatever. Tess is still around, so I'm still I'm probably within the first couple hours. Ellie and Joel aren't out on their own yet, so I'm still within the first couple hours because I'm trying to get my bearings back under me, and there's a ridiculous amount of collectibles even in those first couple chapters. So, but it's nice to be back. I'll say for a game that old, although it is on PS4 and it has gotten a 4K Pro update, it looks and still plays incredibly well. That game has aged very, very well. The dialogue, the story is still awesome. So, it again, it's me killing time, but I've wanted to play it for a while anyway, so I'm having fun again. Rayman Legends is another one I booted up. This is due to you and Brandon talking about it, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it had been a long time since I'd played a Rayman game, and we got it for free with PS Plus, and I just wanted a chill platformer to just kind of relax to while watching shows or whatever. You and Brandon nailed it on the head. The best way to describe it is it's charming as fuck.
Yep.
It's just everything about it is, I mean, if you've ever played a Rayman game, it's that, but just, you know, an updated version. The music's great. The visuals are great. It's cutesy. It's very difficult in certain times. It's a great game. Rayman games are always really fun. So that's kind of more my, like, watch TV or do other stuff while playing games game. And then the last thing I got into is Divinity Original Sin 2.
Ooh.
This is something we've kind of discussed for years. It's always been praised. It's one of the... I know, Ben, you and Sean played it for a couple hours, the first one.
Yeah.
This is a game that... I love CRPGs. I love Baldur's Gate. It's just been a long time since I played a game like this. And I knew what I was getting myself into, but then I quickly realized I didn't know how deep I was getting, how deep the waters were going to be for this game. I knew they were deep. I didn't realize they were quite this deep. I've started over 5 times, and, like, I've only played, like, 2 hours of the game each time, because each time I learn something new. Sean and I are playing it co-op, and then I have a save file going single player to just kind of mess around with stuff. And it's fun as fuck. It's like learning D&D all over again. Learning what, like, there's so many stats to everything. There's different talents to things. There's so much of that game is based on synergy. Sean described it really well, saying it's like playing chess, and it really is. We strategize before every battle. There's a lot more to it than just being like, oh yeah, I'm this class, I have these abilities, let's go. Like, it's way more complex than I anticipated, even though I knew what I was getting myself into. So that's going to be a game that's, I mean, people say it's like a 200-plus-hour game, so I have no doubt. But it's something that I picked up because it was on sale, and it's going to be something that I chug away at for a long time. But I am really glad I got it. It deserves, like, all the reviews and high praise it ever got. It's so well made. The music is second to me next to Witcher as far as the ambient music. It's just so good. The dialogue, the characters, it reminds me a lot of Witcher in that sense. It's like reading a novel or being read a novel. There's a narrator. It's beautifully done. Everything about it hits on every level that I wanted from a game like that. It's just going to take a lot of learning, which I'm totally okay with. So yeah, most of my time's been devoted to that. But that's pretty much it for me. I'm just, like I said, biding my time until Sekiro in a couple weeks. What about you, Ben?
Like you, gentlemen, I've been playing Hollow Knight. Unlocked, like I mentioned before, the little slide on the wall, jump off the wall ability, and I've been doing a lot of backtracking and getting my butt kicked by bosses that I don't need to fight, apparently.
There's a ton of optional bosses in that game that you do not need to touch, and some of them are, like, made for endgame because they are awful.
Yeah, I ran into, I can't even remember his name now, but it's just very frustrating. It was very difficult not to get hit at least once, because he would spray this fire in the air and it was just a line. There was no getting through it at some points. And he would jump on you.
I know what boss
you,
you're talking and, about.
Yeah, it's just, he had these scythe arms.
Is that crab looking thing?
Yeah, the.
Yeah.
Brin.
He spits. Yeah, he spits fire out of the top and it makes it very, it like spreads on the ground and he has a little arm that reaches out the side of him so you really can't get close. I know.
Yeah, you hit him once and you gotta get away, and then once he gets into, you know, Zerg mode, it's, forget it. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do. I was talking with, you know, Mike and Brandon about it last night, and They're like, yeah, he's optional. So yeah, I'm not going to do him anymore.
Well, also, once you have a build, like a specific style build, he's a joke.
Yeah, they were mentioning, like, getting the shell, whatever, mm-hmm. for using your smoke stuff. I don't even know.
There's a few builds in this game that you can make that are... It makes it very hard to die. One of them something that every time you get hit, you gain spirit, so you're never without spirit.
I like the sound of that. That does sound good.
And if you combine that with the charm that allows you to stay invulnerable longer, you can essentially heal whenever you want. Get hit, heal. Get hit, heal. And you'll just never run out of healing because you're always getting hit and you're always able to heal. It's amazing. I use that the final like 30% of my playthrough, and
it's a very good boss build.
Steered me no wrong. It's a great boss build.
That and if you can get quick focus as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you recover faster. You recover faster. Mm-hmm.
All right. That is good to know. I think one of the things I'm not a fan of is this charm notch system that they have in place. It feels like it adds an unnecessary grind to the game. Like, you have to buy, you know, notch slots, then find
They really limit how big your build can be, but I feel like if they didn't, you could be too OP too quickly. I agree with you that it's rough, but if you could equip too many charms in that game, it would be too easy.
Well, just space out when you can find certain charms. You know, it's not hard to stick a charm in a corner of a...
Oh, there are a lot of charms are ones that are awarded or found, as opposed to the ones you can buy. Some of the ones you can buy are straight, like, trash.
Oh, yeah, there's mm-hmm. a lot and of then, them I look at, and I'm like, I don't want this, like, I would never use this.
But and the notch thing is based on... Yeah, because the notch thing is based on how many you have, you get three, not how many you...
From a lady, depending on how many mm-hmm. you can own. But yeah, there's a lot of... I think there's...
You can own them all at once. It's just, you gotta have the notches to be able to equip them.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about, like, how many slots you can fill? Yeah, there's, like, 11, I think. There's 11. There's over 40...
I'm up to 5 right now unlocked, and it's very frustrating.
It's tough. It's definitely tough.
It gets easier. Once you start getting more notches, it gets easier, because then you can be more versatile, but... Yeah, the first like handful of hours of that game, you pretty much just like pick the best you can go with, and you just stick with that. So it's usually just like compass, gathering swarm is very good at just collecting all your money without having to track it down. Like that helps you just get
or money. Just turn it on when you're going on money runs or something like that, and just accumulate it like money crazy.
I never had to do that.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to go for. Well, I only did it because I wanted to buy the lantern very, very early on. That's all.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's a
bit of owning the lantern early.
There are spots that are pitch black if you don't have it.
I've only run into two.
It's not mandatory.
There's an area that you have.
It is essentially mandatory at some point in the game. So
there will be an area you have to go to that you need it.
It's like 1600.
Dude, it's 1800 and it's so easy. Go to green.
Not money. Does not become a problem in that. Is not a problem in that game.
Well, that's true too. You also start acquiring items that you can sell for like 800 a pop, and you'll be fine.
Yeah,
if you really struggle, there's a spot right outside of the tram station in Green, whatever it's called. Where there's two guides with shields and swords. Kill them both. Takes about 2 minutes. Go back. You have 150 run. Or you have 150 GO each run. Takes about 10 minutes to get what you need. But it's really not a big deal.
You shouldn't need to necessarily grind. As long as you're not...
As long as you're not dying a lot.
Yeah, as long as you're not dying and losing your
spirit. Well, I go back and get my shit. So.
Right. As long as you're recovering your spirit when you die, you shouldn't be a money. Cause you should be fine.
And you can leave that area for last if you really want to. It's just where one of the required three things is. So you'll need to go there at some point. So.
Well, I'll get through it, slowly but surely, and this Friday will definitely throw you much more slowly into it once the Division comes out, because I did put my order in for that, unfortunately. I mean, it was getting $10 from Best Buy, so I kind of had to, right?
course you did.
While I played a lot of Hollow Knight, I watched a lot of TV. I watched a lot of TV this weekend. I wrapped up West Wing.
Yay.
Lived up to the hype, but the show suffered a lot in the last two seasons. But when you know, see how many episodes there were, I mean, that's a lot of writing to do. You see shows like The Office, they start to suffer at the end there, and characters come in and out of the show. I felt the show really dropped off a lot when Rob Lowe left. Clean-cut Ruxin just wasn't enough.
No.
Yeah.
That's not an even trade.
Josh Molina and Nick Kroll have to be related. They have to be.
You think so.
I'm sorry. You close your eyes, they're the same person. I just hear Nick Kroll whenever Josh Molina talks. It drives me crazy. I could not watch the show and not see Nick Kroll in my mind's eye when he was talking. It just drove me crazy. So yeah, it was good. I really liked it. That was a lot of fun. I finished up True Detective.
Finally.
The last three episodes on Sunday.
I'm sorry for you.
It was a solid season, but it wasn't anything special, to be honest.
Season one's the best.
Yeah, still by far the best one. They tried to... I don't know. I don't want to talk about too much into it, but...
Without spoiling anything, it seems like the build-up was essentially to something that eventually when you get there, you're like, oh, all right.
It just kind of happened. You're just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, sure. I buy that.
His writing and the... Except for... I'm putting season two aside because season two I felt like was something very different. But season one and three were so good. And then the ending, the final episodes of both seasons are just like... All right. Like, yeah, it just doesn't feel like he knows how to end a show, which is really unfortunate because the build-up to those episodes are fucking awesome. Like, the acting was so good.
It was heartbreaking, the last, like, 20 minutes of the last episode.
Oh, man, that was rough.
Oh, my God, I was screaming at my TV. It was driving me crazy. And, I mean, Mahershala Ali is a chameleon. That guy is unbelievable.
Holy shit.
He had to play three different versions of himself through the whole show. It was just incredible.
What's his name did a good job, too, from Blade?
Oh, my God. Steven Dorff?
The partner, yeah. He was great.
Yep, he did a pretty good job, too. But, yeah.
So did the guy who played the dad.
The dad. Oh,
the
dad of the kids.
He was really good, too.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
The whole cast was great. I mean,
they cast it really well. And it was killing me. Like, the first episode I'm watching, I was like, man, what is Tessa Thompson doing in this? Why does she look weird? And then I looked it up, and it's not Tessa Thompson. It's just her doppelganger.
It is a Brit. As soon as I saw her, I was like, there's no way that chick's not British. And then you look it up, British. Yeah. Like, you could tell right from the accent, too. Her version of a southern accent. They say non-Americans say that the easiest American accent to do is a southern American accent. So that's the ones they tend to lean towards.
Yeah.
But I could hear it immediately in her voice, the way she pronounced certain words. But she does look a lot like Tessa Thompson.
Oh yeah, that was cracking me up too in that first episode or so before I actually like stopped and looked it up.
Yeah.
The other show that I watched and I'm still watching is Umbrella Academy on Netflix.
How is that?
I'm enjoying it. I've got about two episodes to go. It's very interesting and it's shot very well. There's a lot of scenes I think you'd really like.
It's a graphic novel, right?
Yeah.
It's based off a graphic novel?
I think it was Dark Horse Comics, I want to say.
So it's a DC. Okay.
The kid, Aidan Gallagher, he plays number five. He is really fucking good. Usually kid actors are terrible. I don't recognize him from anything else, but he is just awesome in this show. Like, really good. I was also pumped to see my boy Billy Bones from Black Sails in another good show. So, yeah, Tom Hopper is around, and he's doing good work in this one as well. Very interesting stuff. I'm enjoying it. So,
how many episodes?
12.
Whoa. All right.
Hour-long episodes, so it's your standard Netflix fare. Standard HBO stuff.
Check it out.
A little half-season action, but really good. Yeah, I recommend it. I think Mike mentioned that his wife watched it, and she liked it, and he saw bits and pieces of it and thought it was interesting. Can you confirm this?
I can confirm all of that.
All right. But that's it for me. Just more TV than games, really. Watching them shows.
You guys will be proud of me because I finally got around to it. One, because it's in syndication. So I started watching it in syndication. And I was like, all right, I got to watch it. I'm in season 3 or 4 of Parks and Rec. That show's fucking hilarious.
Wow.
I mean, I can't say I've ever watched that show because I've never watched it like full through, but I knew what it was and I've, you know, seen a bunch of episodes. This is the first time I'm watching it like chronologically. Everybody's right about season 1 that they just couldn't seem, I don't know if they couldn't find their feet or they just didn't know what they wanted to be. Like, it was kind of a mix of bunch
season
of different
one
stuff.
Was rough. Like,
I mean, I watched it. I didn't think like it was
like a childish.
It was a different person. Yeah, and it was.
Yeah, her character.
It wasn't as bad as everybody said, though.
I don't even watch season 1 anymore. Like, it's
probably because you've seen the whole thing, and
I've
never
seen the whole thing
from beginning
20
to end.
Times, but season 1 is the least funniest of all of it.
I 100% agree. It definitely stood out, but I wanted to see, you know,
halfway through season 2,
it
finds its
I needed to see where it came from.
Season 3, it takes off when Rob Lowe.
The whole show is fucking hilarious. Rob Lowe is, he's fucking, him and Adam Scott are so funny. I love Adam Scott in anything, but he's great on that show, and Rob Lowe is
fantastic.
He's great. Yeah, everything about that show is really good. Also, I really never was familiar with Chris Pratt before he became bigger. I knew him before he started doing Guardians and you know, Jurassic Park and stuff, but like I didn't see him from the beginning with this, and it's interesting to see his comedy origins, I guess, because this is where he kind of got his ground, it feels like. He's a funny motherfucker.
Very much so.
His sense of humor is really on target, and it seems like he's one of those guys that behind the scenes everybody's fucking hysterical about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's probably cracking practical jokes constantly.
For that show, it's a lot of Chris Pratt fucking around. And it's
I'm
great.
Sure.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
And him and Aubrey Plaza together are just magic.
Yes. And every character only gets, like, better as the show goes on. So
yeah.
You're in for more good stuff.
Is that Aziz Ansari's first kind of thing on the scene, or was he a stand-up before he started doing that?
He was a stand-up before Parks and Rec.
A lot of small parts here and there.
Yeah, he was in that Happy People movie with Adam Sandler.
Oh, okay.
He was in there as a stand-up. He was getting his rounds as a stand-up. I think that was like his first like major show, though.
Aziz is the only person, and it's not a negative because he's funny, but like he's the only person on the show that I feel like he's always performing.
That's
like no matter what's going on, he always feels that entire when Leslie was running for campaign and he throws like the
720
entertainment 720 shit. I get that, but like
if that's how you feel about him, then he's doing a great job.
Yeah. No, and that's why I said it's not a bad thing because it's exactly what it is. I'm just saying like him, that character, and his stand up character are the same thing.
Kinda, yeah. More or less, that you kind of get a lot of his like stand-up persona out of that character.
Yeah, but he's really funny. The whole thing is, I mean, I knew, again, I've seen it before. I just never saw it, like, chronologically.
It's good you're finally watching it, though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the news, which we have some interesting news stories this week. Let's start with one. Judgment, currently only available in Japan as it's coming up on its impending June 25th worldwide release, has been pulled off of shelves and digital storefronts in Japan. Why, do you ask? Because one of the voice actors got busted for doing cocaine.
This is bullshit.
Yes. This is bullshit. You heard me right. Apparently, this is fairly commonplace in Japan. There have been some other incidents like this cited with the story making the rounds. Apparently, there was a pop star, a Japanese pop star, that got their basically their album pulled off the shelves for drugs. And one of the actors in Yakuza 4 was actually replaced just based on allegations of drug use. So this,
it's a culture thing, isn't it?
Yeah, this seems to be a Japanese,
okay, that's what I assumed,
law, very commonplace. Like, yeah, they apparently very hard on drugs to an extreme degree. So, yeah, everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen because
there's no way
has not commented.
The U.S. doesn't give a fuck.
Well,
why would
the
U.S. care?
Who knows?
I guess.
I mean, there's a model.
If they
a model in this game is based after this character. It would not be out of the realm of possibility for them to pull this game out and remodel that character with someone else before they release it in the U.S.
Because it's a Japanese company, I would say that's a possibility. I would be very surprised if they did do that, but I guess it's possible.
Yeah, they have.
How long do you think it would be delayed for if they did that?
I mean, it's set to come out in 3 months. So at this point,
right, June,
probably
the end
all
of
they're
June.
Doing is probably bug fixing.
And it's been out in Japan since
December. It's probably localization at this point is all they're working on. So, I mean, how long does it take to remodel a character and reinsert it into an entire game?
If it's the main character,
yeah,
that's going to be rough.
But yeah, I don't know how big of a part that character plays, but all Sega has said is that they pulled the game while they're confirming the facts. So who knows? This, in a week from now, this could all be, all
right,
we're putting it back
up. Right, it could be back on the
shelves.
Yeah.
Or who knows? But as of right now, yeah, very very interesting peek into the culture of Japan. I never knew anything about any of this stuff before. And then, like, all these stories come out, like, yeah, Japan's been doing this for years. And it's like, oh, shit, that's kind of fucked up. But, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's an honor thing. Honor and respect and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just they don't want to be associated with that kind of stuff. Even though in Yakuza games, they're fucking ripping people's
right.
throats out
like,
and
yeah,
shit. Like,
you can have all the violence and weird sex stuff you want.
You just can't do it in real life.
Drugs.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You can't be smoking weed or doing anything
I mean,
that.
If you look at all the Yakuza games and stuff like that, drugs are really not very prevalent. And the other thing about Japan and Japanese culture is, if you use a gun, you're, like, super pissed off. Like, you really mean
like
to do harm.
Right.
Like, guns are super big as far as a bad thing. So, and even in Yakuza games, like, you rarely see them use guns unless it's a serious, serious situation. It's mostly just fists and stuff. So, it's crazy.
That's definitely one we'll be following up on in the coming days and weeks once we find out more. But speaking of guns, Fallout 76 has released their first major content update called Wild Appalachia. It is available right now. You should be downloading a 10 to 15 gig update if you're on PS4 and roughly about the same on other platforms. What does Wild Appalachia bring you? Well, it brings you some new features to your camp. First off, you can now brew and distill beer and other, you know, wines and liquors. They added some new events in the world. The survival mode is now active. That's basically like a more PvP focused mode into that game if you're focused on PvP for whatever reason. More decorations for your camp. You can now install a vending machine in your camp that anyone can walk up to and access. You can place items in there for sale, and then basically this is how you can sell leftover items or gear to any player in the world who can just walk up and use it. On top of that, you finally have something to do with all that legendary gear you've been sitting on. There is a now legendary vendor in the world that you can find, and now you can scrap your legendary gear, and depending on the star rating of the gear, I believe it was from 1 to 5, that gives you a chance of him gifting you another legendary weapon or piece of armor. So Now you don't have to worry about just filling up your stash with a bunch of legendary armor that is not useful anymore.
I sold so much of that stuff because I had no use for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it probably didn't. It doesn't matter even now. But
you got it at a reasonable rate to where it was like you didn't really feel too bad. And especially with how money can be kind of stingy in that game, it's like, well, shit. I mean, I might as well sell it.
I mean, I didn't mention this in the games we're playing segment, but I did play some Fallout 76 this week for about 15
really?
Minutes.
Wasn't that on your list of games you're never going back to?
See? He's a liar.
I played it for 15 minutes. So that should
tell
you
everything. I'm busting your balls. Are you going to... Do either of you have any interest in seeing what this is, or are you done with the game?
If they can clean up the frame rate issues,
Performance. Performance is the key issue I have with that game is the performance.
Performance, yeah. Clean up the performance, because I had one ghoul chasing after me, and I turned to hit him with my sledgehammer, and my game locked up for 15 seconds, and then it like all caught back up again, and I was almost dead because two more came up and a Wendigo showed up out of nowhere.
What they're adding is just gameplay. It's not fixing anything, right?
Well, this is a content update. They might have added like fixes along with it, but they're showcasing. This is a showcase of here's all this new shit. They've been fairly regular with the like bug fixes. I don't know how like if it's just small stuff like some glitchy quests and some you know terrain that you can fall through. I don't know how much of it is actually like, all right, we're improving the core gameplay and performance of the servers, because I mean I have full intentions of going back to that game at some point, but it's one of those like, well, the longer I wait, the more theoretically is going to be both added and fixed. So it's just
absolutely
like it's there. It's always going to be just sitting there in the backlog and just be like, all right, you know, once I clear through a bunch of games, maybe I'll fire it up. Or, you know, maybe I'll just keep sitting and waiting. But I have not given up on that game. Not at all. It's deep in the backlog, but it is not, like, written off. I'm done. I still have full intentions of going back to it at some point in the future.
I think your idea of waiting until, like, the longer you wait, the better it's going to be. I think that that's smart, especially after how rough it was.
Yeah.
Wait a while and then you'll want, and like wait till you want to play a Fallout game again. And then hopefully when you go back, that itch combined with them fixing stuff will make it a, you know, fun experience.
Especially,
for
you know, come summertime, there's always going to be that lull where it's going to be like, man, I got a lot of time and not a lot of new stuff. So like, hey, look at that. Fallout 76 sitting there waiting for me. We finally have a date for Path of Exile on PS4. And it's soon. It's very soon. March 26th. Confirmed by the devs themselves. Posted on their forum. March 26th, we will see the
That's
release
the same day as Sekiro.
Some people
Path
I
of
know
Exile.
Are skeptical about that.
I am. I mean, come on. They've delayed this how many times?
Too.
They've been in the dark. And, I think,
22nd,
you know, talking about day one issues, like... I could definitely.
There better not be any day one issues. Not after this long of a delay. It should have come out in January?
December.
And then they delayed it in December. And then they delayed it until February. Yeah. And now it's
and
March.
And now March, so.
They're also going to be 3 weeks into the season. So there's no reason why. Well,
I mean,
I say there's no reason why.
It's supposed to already be out, but, you know.
A few months to get acclimated with the game. So that's. I'm okay.
It's coming out at the worst fucking time. I was so fine with it when it was coming out in December, and now it's just a bad time.
Am I honestly going to start this right now?
You better fucking start this right now. We've all been waiting for this forever.
It's like, all right, we're going to be playing Division 2, Sekiro's out, got Days Gone, Mortal Kombat. I still got a million other games I'm playing.
MLB The Show.
Like, who's got time to this?
I do have my eye on that.
Endless grind game that's going to, like, sink hundreds of hours into, like, I'm excited yeah, to play it.
I'm playing Divinity as well, yeah, so it's like, it's oops.
Where's the time to play this game going to come from is the bigger issue.
I mean, I'll definitely download it day one, and I will mess with it around with it, and then we'll see where it is. If it plays well and it's, you know, everything's good and we've got it. I mean, I know Sean's going to be playing it day one, and I'll be playing it day one. So if we, and Greedy will be playing it day one too. So,
oh, yeah, there'll be plenty of people.
If we've
it's a free game, so I'm sure.
Yeah, so we'll have little groups going. And it's not, and it, that's a game that they update every season anyway. So even if you didn't start it for another couple months, be fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm gonna get like left behind to any serious degree.
No, not when you start seasonal characters. Right. We all start from zero.
Dead Cells has announced they are bringing some more DLC to the game, and it's coming this month. It's titled Rise of the Giants. They are adding two additional locations. One is, the first one is called the Cavern. These locations will only unlock once you have beat the final boss at least one time. They are adding 10 new enemy types. They're adding 10 new weapons and 10 new skills to the game along with it. This is coming March 28th. There's also going to be a huge patch coming along with it. And there is a hidden area within the caverns that also has a hidden boss, in which they're saying if you do beat said hidden boss, it will give you a new ending to the game. So, hey, hey, look at that March. There's more stuff. Oh, cool. Now I have a great incentive to go back and play Dead Cells too. Awesome. I think I just need to quit my job. I don't have enough time to play
that game's mini runs. Yeah, become a streamer, become famous.
Yeah.
That game's a bunch of mini runs, though, so it'll be like Gungeon for you. You do work away at it little by little.
I mean,
you do have to relearn how to play that game, though.
That's probably going to be like, all right, I probably won't even start this for a while because it's like I need to dedicate time to like getting good at that game again. So, yeah, we'll see how soon I actually get to playing that. We have another animated series based on a video game coming to Netflix. It's Dragon's Dogma. Yes, you heard me right. The somewhat respected, but they've only put out one game and an online.
Why only somewhat?
Well, I mean, this series is weird because Capcom like really seems to love it, but they only made one game. The online MMO is only available in Japan, and now we have this animated series, and we haven't heard nothing about a potential sequel. So it's like I'm curious, where does Capcom stand with this game? It feels like they're
apparently
in some weird limbo.
Apparently, they said that if they weren't before DMC5, they were Dragon's Dogma 2 was the thing. So that seems to be the next thing on their docket.
I'm okay with that.
They said if DMC5 didn't happen, Dragon's Dogma 2 would have.
That's good. At least they know, because I mean I don't remember if the game sold well, but it scored, like it reviewed very well. It has a good like kind of cult following to it. But hey, I mean, we have a short kind of case as far as good video game animated series. Castlevania obviously is the big hitter right now, but we're going to have one from Netflix, no release date or who's, you know, directing or actors or anything. It's just literally just, hey, we're doing a Dragon's Dogma animated series, and that's that. So don't expect this anytime soon, but I'm excited. Hey, whatever. Cool. More shit to watch on Netflix. Our final news story this week is The Messenger making its way to PS4 next week. That's right, on March 19th.
Yes.
The Messenger will be coming to PlayStation 4.
And you just made my goddamn day.
And of course, they
holy shit, how did I not
hear about this? You know, nothing else to play.
Yeah, not like we have plenty of other
games. How much is it going to be? I mean, this is a game I'm going to buy purely for the soundtrack, because that soundtrack's fucking incredible.
No, exactly. I'm going to assume I think it was 15 on every other platform, so I assume it's going to be $15 as well. Maybe it might have like a first week sale, but I assume $15. And then they want to remind you that Picnic Panic is still on track for this summer. That is a free expansion that they're adding into that game. So,
like new story or just more stuff of?
I don't know if it's like a side quest type of thing or if it's just like a whole new campaign. They call it an expansion, so I imagine it's probably maybe it's like a new line of quests plus some new areas. But yeah, finally get to play The Messenger. Very much recommended. Game has its issues, still worth playing though. Had a relatively good
time. Is it worth 15?
I mean, that's what I pay for it. I don't feel cheap. I mean, I put like 12 hours into that game. I feel like I got $15.
I may not buy it day one. I am excited for it. I'm legitimately excited, but there is other stuff out. But it's something I have my eye on.
Unless you're going to play it.
If they do that,
just throw it in your wish list.
Unless they do that week one sale, like they do with the PS games sometimes, right. Like where it'd be like 30% off, it'd be like $11 or something.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like $10, absolutely, definitely for $10. But even for $15, I didn't feel like I got cheated out of my money.
I'll throw it on my wish list. I'm sure they have it on the store already.
Right. And just like that, we are done with the news this week. And like I said at the top of the show, we're going to talk more about the NFL free agency extravaganza instead of a top five this week, just because a lot has happened. A lot has happened.
Our teams made a lot of moves.
Yeah, specifically with the teams we're fans of, but not to mention just like across the league. Yeah, this has been a very eventful last like 24 to 48 hours, and I would say I'm very happy right now. I don't know about you guys, but I am pretty gosh darn pleased with how the Cleveland Browns are currently looking, and it doesn't seem like they're done yet. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if during the recording of this they went out and signed two more people. But
you guys are looking good.
Yeah, it's
if they're not in the AFC Championship game this season.
Jets Browns AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I mean,
the amount of talent the Browns have right now is just disgusting.
Like I feel like definitely winning record has to be like a lock at this point. And I'd say
winning the division should be the lock.
I was gonna say playoffs. I'm a Browns fan. Have to be a lock right now.
My expectations are very low.
You guys should at least make the playoffs. That should be your lowest.
Bengals. The Browns improved, but everyone else in the division has gone down. So it's a bull 1-2 punch that I think really puts the Browns as favorites to
Browns
win the division.
Made the playoffs last year. If they had a head coach and a kicker, they were
exactly.
In.
They were two missed field goals from making the playoffs last season. So
you'll be the preseason favorite to win that division, probably.
I would say, yeah, unless Pittsburgh or Baltimore pulls off some monster deals.
They should have a top five offense in the AFC next year.
I would agree with that 100%. 100%.
And your defense is already pretty good anyway, so that combination is going to be a big 1-2 punch. You guys are going to be in really good shape.
They had to give up Peppers, which, sucks, but I'd say wasn't a huge loss. Giving up a good majority of their draft. I mean, they still got the, I think they're picking twice in the top 100 picks, so they got some picks, but not nothing monumental.
Well, not anymore, right? Top 100, yeah. They still have a second and a third.
They have second and third round picks. So they'll still have some relatively decent kind of draft capital to work with. And who knows? This seems to be like
you could trade for picks too.
All in push. They're still sitting on about $25 million of cap space, even though it looks like Eric Barrett.
Too bad you can't buy draft picks. No. Can you? Has that ever happened in the NFL?
They kind of did.
Can you just pay
year.
Money for draft picks?
Yeah.
When they traded for Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then I guess that's a way of doing that. Maybe trade for a player in draft picks and then release the player. Yeah.
But
just as a pure question, is that allowed? If a team contacted you and was like, I'll give you this many millions for that draft pick, can they sell a draft pick?
I don't think so. Because
there's
no way to account for that money on your salary cap.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no way to put a value on a draft pick, you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be crazy if the NFL actually started putting.
It would be the Wild West at that point.
Yeah. If you think about like the Colts, they've got $100 million still just sitting
roughly.
There.
And they could buy all the Raiders picks.
They just come in and say, all right, we'll give you the max amount for the top 10 picks of the draft.
Yeah.
And that leaves them with like $10 million in cap to be able to sign up.
That'd be fucking nuts.
That'd be hilarious. That's parody for you. Mm-hmm. No, but
yeah. No shit.
The Browns, God, where is this at? I'm trying to find your, oh, here it is. Your, you guys still have an estimated $50 million in cap space right now.
All right. Is that the most?
Oh, updated? This doesn't include. Yeah. I'm sorry. This isn't including Odell or Olivier Vernon.
Yeah, I think that bumped it around the 25.
And you guys just restructured his contract.
$1 million range.
That's the rumor.
It's
going
to be so weird to see him in a Browns uniform.
Yes.
I'm looking forward. I'm excited.
Me too, dude. Anything that screws over the Giants, I'm all about it, man. Dave Gettleman gave him away for nothing.
Him away, and now they're still. I mean, you're going to assume they're going to take it. They have to take a quarterback. Like, they have to take a quarterback.
Well, there's no they got rid of him, and they didn't put the tag on what's his face. Was it Collins?
Collins went and signed for a ton of money, though.
Yeah.
With Washington. But they could have tagged him way less.
Yeah.
Well, that's my point. I'm saying the Giants just lost two big. Like, what are they? And they have Eli had an aging quarterback.
On the doorstep of retirement.
They're going to have to draft. I mean, obviously, they're building around Saquon.
I'd say that's all
because
they have. That's all they have is Saquon.
Right.
Likely. That is their entire.
Yeah, they did trade for one of the probably the best offensive lineman the Browns had.
Yeah.
And Zeitler.
Oh, you're talking about to the. Right. Well, that's to protect. I mean, the offensive line for New York is still. The Giants. Is still pretty solid because they have to protect Eli or else they lose everything.
Went out and spent a ton of money on Solder last year, who was not really great. And so
they didn't live up to what they paid him.
Not even close.
Talking about trading for Rosen and stuff, but like I don't see the point. Like if Arizona really does take Kyler Murray at number one, I mean, what do they do?
You have to trade
Rosen. What do you do with Rosen? Like, what? Yeah, but what do you get for him after a year of him sitting?
Yeah, see, not even sitting. He was out there playing.
He hasn't proven any.
But I think by drafting.
Not the whole year, was he?
He played.
He didn't start the season, but.
He didn't start the season. Okay.
Played like 10 games.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But I think.
So you saw what he is, kind of.
Yeah, he had a rough first year. I mean, the story around Arizona, you fire a first-year coach, that's already a huge red flag.
Yeah.
And not to mention...
Well, that whole front office
by simply drafting Kyler Murray, that takes Josh Rosen's stock and just dumps it in the toilet even further. Because that just means that you have no faith in that guy. So who's going
to... They'd have to trade him before... Him? Well, I guess if you're even offering to trade him, people know what you're doing.
Right. Yeah, I think.
Well,
I think
what are you going to do? Have two quarterbacks that you took one number one back to back? Like
a rookie and then a.
You're not the old Browns. Come on now.
Yeah, exactly, that's a Browns ass move.
it just seems weird. I bet there's going to be a lot of movement with players that came out of last year's draft this year before the draft. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
If I'm Arizona, I'm dealing that pick. I mean, they're going to take Murray most likely because they're crazy. But I feel like you could easily trade that to the Giants or maybe Denver.
Well, Arizona needs everything, so you could take somebody at number one.
I would take the Giants 2 first rounders.
Yeah.
For the number
and then
one
the
role.
Giants.
What is
and
it?
Then the Giants
and
draft Murray
17
yeah. 6 and something. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I mean. Basically, the Giants or the Arizona's in the same place. All they have, their offense is David Johnson because Larry Fitzgerald is also on the doorstep. He's last season.
The Giants have more pieces than Arizona.
True, but I'm just saying, like, they have a running back, and then they have nothing else really to go around.
They have a good offensive line. Oh, you're talking about in Arizona, yeah.
Like that.
And you, like you said, Arizona, and Fitzgerald's on his way out.
The Giants are paying a lot for that offensive line. I don't know how good it is, though.
Yeah. They were decent last year, and they only got better. So,
but as long as Eli's quarterback, that
he's
going to get you. So
and
far.
He's on his last
and
year.
Now,
they
have Sterling
when you trade Shepherd away your piece
in Corey Coleman are their top two wide receivers. They got
Corey
no one to
Coleman.
So,
well, you don't need anybody. You don't need anybody if you're not. I'm not going to say they're going to tank, but. You don't need anybody if you know you're in a rebuild season. You're not really trying to win.
Berkeley. Yeah, no shit.
So do I.
He went to Penn State, so that just goes to show you how much.
That was his choice to go to the shittier New York team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, He'll get out. He'll get out. He'll get some good years under him. He'll get out of there, and he'll get a monster.
He's getting paid, so yeah, he's fine.
He's not a rookie deal, though. He's not getting that.
Yeah, but the way it works in the NFL is it's a tiered system now for the draft. So it doesn't matter what position you are when you're picked at a certain pick in the top. I don't know what it is, 10 or something. You're on like a certain you're on a certain salary bump or something like that.
Yeah, so
I don't know. He was number two. Yeah, I don't know what it goes up to of like where that stops.
All right, so he's gonna get $7 million next year, which
I mean that's it's not bad for
bad for me
second year,
but for probably
he'll make that money up later in his career.
Yeah,
he'll make that money up in a couple years, so he'll be fine. Just like Le'Veon Bell did with the Jets and stuff like that. I mean, he didn't get the money he wanted, but
Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell's deal, because that dude fucked himself so hard by sitting out a year.
He didn't get
$2 million less than what the Steelers offered him last year.
He did not get what he wanted, but he did get out of Pittsburgh, which he also wanted. So
in his mind,
And the other thing he wanted was long-term guarantees, and the Jets gave him that. So it's fine. I'm fine having him on my team. I don't like what he did.
Yeah.
And I never – like, that's the one problem I ever have when any team, if you're a fan of that team, when they sign a problem person or somebody that – like, I'm sure that – I wouldn't be happy if I were the Raiders. And, like
– oh, yeah.
Antonio Brown's obviously a problem. Like, I'm sure Le'Veon Bell's going to – I hope Le'Veon Bell doesn't cause any issues. He's absolutely going to produce. I'm worried about the off-the-field stuff, especially in New York. That's a way bigger market than Pittsburgh is. So
all eyes on you.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The first couple years will be okay, and that's when it really needs to happen. We gave him money. We gave a lot of defensive players money. Ben, you probably have the list of who the Jets acquired.
Guys have signed a lot of people.
Yeah.
You also signed three offensive linemen.
Yep.
And,
right, because we're protecting Darnold.
Well, you signed two offensive linemen. You traded for Osamele from the Raiders, who's a solid starter.
Good
and
to hear.
Went out and got... Jameson Crowder and Josh Bellamy, the wide receivers.
We're giving our pieces weapons.
Yeah, Darnold needs people to throw to,
and now he's got
dudes can't get open with Le'Veon Bell in the backfield because teams are going to stack the box against Bell.
Time.
So,
Darnold's he can catch out of the back too. And well, and that's the good thing is it takes some pressure off Darnold. And even though it's his second year, everything was on him last year. It's like, let's see what he's going to do for this team. That's true, too. The new scheme, you mean?
Crack eyes, Gase coming in there.
Yeah, we'll see. So that's the other thing. We'll see how I can never get over that press conference, man.
I missed it when it first came out, and then I remembered
about it. It's just his natural look, but it's fucking weird. Like
that was like more. There was more to that one.
His eyes are very wide. If you go back and watch anything he had in Miami, his eyes are very wide. So
he's got the bug eye look going, but something about that press conference.
Weird. It was definitely weird. But look, he always had the Jets number. So let's hope that he can somehow improve the Jets on what the Jets were doing wrong. And we're there with pieces. I think it's going to be just like with you, Mike, with the Browns. I think that both of our teams have become a lot better than they were, and they've got the pieces to possibly produce. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think for the Jets, it's going to be the same expectation. We should probably make the playoffs. We're in a lot harder of a situation because we're going to be relying on the wild card instead of the division. Right. So we're going to have to compete, which could be harder because, I guess we could give the Patriots a run for their money if we win enough. But and it also depends on how many of the games the Patriots win. But I would like to see the Jets make the playoffs. I think it's possible because the AFC seemed to have gotten shuffled around a lot. So I think one of those wild card spots could definitely go
to
the Jets. And then
wild card.
Yeah, absolutely. And then once Brady goes, at least the Jets are primed to make that next step. When the Patriots are hopefully down, the Jets can take that spot. Because we're definitely in better shape than the Bills and the Dolphins. So, and we've become a contender. Draft,
so you're gonna
and that
a
too. Well,
yeah. Player for sure.
Oh yeah.
I wonder. Well, that's my question. Are we going to take somebody or trade?
They should draft.
You think so?
There's a lot of defensive talent out there.
If someone tries to come up to get a quarterback, you guys should trade
That's what I'm saying. Defense. Somebody's got yeah. right.
If the Giants,
because somebody who's going to want those quarterback, it's going to be if anybody gets Giants, nervous,
Denver,
we could get some.
Maybe Washington. I think there's only.
Didn't
three.
Denver just fucking? Oh well, Flacco's a kind of a short term.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Flacco's for a couple years at most.
Jags just signed Foles, right? So there's no reason Jags to trade out. Up to get a quarterback.
That I don't think is going to pay off for them. I think that yeah. I think
he
that
was
they're
so
looking
great
in a.
For the Rams
in,
when he went there after his half a.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when everything's on him. It becomes a difference. When you put him in a small sample size, it's like he only comes in for 4 or 5 games a season and he lights it up. Awesome. When you put an entire season on him, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
I think he'll be okay.
It's also a complete...
Because the offense should revolve around Fournette, not Foles.
I would agree with that. But the other thing about Philadelphia was that he was good because of all the pieces and the people he had around him. He's not going to have all that in Jacksonville.
That was just Doug Peterson being... genius on offense.
Well, it worked. He's not going to have that. Who's the Jags head coach?
Doug Maroney, still, I believe.
I'll go with that.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
I believe that's true.
You'll go with that.
That sounds right.
Yeah, the Jaguars' offense isn't anything special. It's not lighting.
And their
the
defense
world.
Seemed to be a flash in the pan. I don't know what happened last year.
Oh,
so
come on. Hashtag Saxonville, man.
Yeah. That
I mean, they were great that one year, and it was – well, last year they definitely underachieved. They're not as bad as they were last year, but they're not as good
they're
as they
not,
were the year
yeah.
before.
Oh,
they're somewhere in the middle there. But they're also in a
– 15 defense, top 10 maybe?
Yeah. I was going to say top 10. Yeah. They're also in a tough division as well, too. So the Browns are like the only ones that are in the easy division this year, and they got really good. So they've got that flip. That entire division is flipping.
Yeah.
Because all the other divisions are getting good and
moved.
Well, yeah, right.
Near the bottom.
You were always above them. That's true. Except for those fluke years that they finished like 11-6 and they make the playoffs and, you know, then they get their quarterback's leg fucking falls off because he gets hit the wrong way. Oh, that was such a brutal hit. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But the Jets are definitely primed to be there, and we'll see what happens. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yep, me too. I mean, I have no reason to be considering all the talent they just added, but I've been a Browns fan for way too long to truly get my hopes up, but I've never been more excited about an upcoming Browns season than I am right now, so we will see.
You've got every right to be excited, because not only did they go out and get Odell Beckham and Olivier Vernon, they, you know, signed Sheldon Richardson, Adarius Taylor, who's a solid inside linebacker. And let's not forget, Kareem Hunt is going to sit
he's gonna
for
play
an unspecified amount of time.
Probably
and
half
then
the season,
got
at most.
An all-pro running back to back up an all-pro running back. So
a 1-2 combo,
not too
that
bad.
Is
and
gonna
they're
be...
they're both on just tiny contracts. Yeah. So
you're the new ridiculous. Saints.
Yeah.
You guys signed a bunch
and
of
you see that Ingram signed with right, well that's the point. You have two. you're set. You saw Ingram went to
the Ravens.
Baltimore?
Yep. I mean,
they needed a running back anyway.
It seemed to be a toss-up.
And he's good.
Him and Bell. Like, one of them is going to the Jets and one of them is going to the Ravens. And,
now all these reports are coming out that the Ravens
I'm much happier with
in the Bell sweepstakes. That it was just all
no, it seemed to be the Jets from the get-go, which is weird. Yeah. Because, like, when he first was talking and they were like, yeah, the Jets are, like, number one. I'm like, oh, yeah. All right. It's just, it's weird to see him. I don't know. Maybe they offered him the most next to Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah, I'm curious how many teams actually made serious offers to him, or they were just like, "Nah, we're not gonna be in that business whatsoever. We're good."
And he's good, but he's not problem good.
Right. And there was a lot of like decent running backs out there available. Like you weren't just all sitting around like everyone fighting over the one good running back. Like there were,
and he's not number one anymore.
No, I mean,
he's like number two or three at this point. Although he might be number two now that Gurley is.
Yeah.
He's definitely up there.
Gurley's and knee look, can get sorted out.
I don't think Gurley's in the top three anymore.
Before we talk about the Detroit Lions, let's go there. Fantasy draft number one pick. Who are you taking right now?
Before yesterday, I was taking Barkley number one overall without a doubt. Now I have doubts.
Today it's hard.
It's going to be Bell?
No, no.
No, not with the Jets schedule either.
No, also
I wouldn't go. No, I've drafted Gurley twice, number one in the past 2 years, and it worked out for me. It's not going to happen a third time.
Yeah, I had him. I had him. He was my first round pick this past year, and
for consistency and just
that was the last.
Well,
I got the championship week was his last good week ever, so I'm worried about his health.
Yeah. He seems to be going to need a lot more resting time. So
there's
I don't think he's
Alvin Kamara.
Up. Yeah, he's definitely up there.
Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Bell and Saquon going in most drafts, number one.
I think
McCaffrey's up there.
Ooh, you know what? Yeah, McCaffrey has really increased his stock after last year.
He's healthy. He's going to be in a... The offense is going to revolve around him because who knows how Cam Newton's arm is these days.
Or his legs.
Is Odell still...
15 yards downfield.
Is Odell still the number one wide receiver?
No,
now that you have Baker throwing to him?
It's Hopkins. It's DeAndre Hopkins, number one for sure.
DeAndre, and then...
Maybe Davante Adams, Green Bay.
I could see that. He's a top five.
Had an awesome year.
I hope.
I think
for
I,
fucking
Michael Thomas Saints is up there.
I mean, Antonio Brown,
Julio is always up there.
Yeah, well, right, and well, you also don't have a quarterback throwing to Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
let's see what happens there.
We'll see.
Derek Carr was an MVP candidate 2 years ago.
I'm not saying he was a great quarterback. I don't know where the fuck he's been the past 2 years.
There's definitely some regression with him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so
that injury just like messed with his head or what?
He's got the yips.
It's just weird to sign a great wide receiver without having a solid, consistent quarterback to throw to said wide receiver.
What are you talking about? They signed Nathan Peterman. You talking about they got a decent?
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Gunslinger,
Mr. Interception.
Yeah.
Do you like? I hope for Baker's sake that Odell chills the fuck out, because Baker's still learning on the fly. He's good, and, you know, we saw of what he's going to be, but I'm sure he'll still make mistakes, and Beckham has such a short fuse. Although, the funny thing is, Baker will bite back, which will be great.
Yeah, I
can't wait to see
that
kind of interaction.
Yeah, Baker would not be afraid to stand up to him if it came to it, but I'm hoping that, this influx of talent doesn't start creating some locker room drama, because, I mean, that's the last thing that a fucking team, that's primed to make it a good run at this next season.
Yeah.
Needs. Like, I don't need a bunch
of... That would be my only concern for you guys.
People fighting on the practice field and bullshit.
Well, it's
like
also
that.
Cleveland, so there's not as much to do, so he's going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's... I mean, yeah, you could, yeah, that's always going to be a thing. It's like, well, you took him out of the big city and now into a smaller city, so
yeah,
it can be better or worse.
He's a big fish in a small pond now, so we'll see what happens.
We definitely shall.
Him and Baker are going to be doing coke on the town.
Gosh, no, not again. No, we already had a Johnny Manziel. We don't need another one.
No, Baker will be fine. Baker will be totally fine. Let's
Stay home and play Fortnite on Twitch.
Yeah.
You've been doing that well.
There you go.
Keep doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he played Fortnite on Twitch.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Good for him.
Yeah. All right, Ben. What about your Detroit Lions? You've been off
my Lions did moves. Nothing as splashy as you guys. After we just got done talking about your guys' stuff, I'm looking at our stuff, and I'm thinking, wow, this is boring. Like...
Well, the Jets and the Browns did some unexpected things in the past 48.
Well, I guess that's not true, because everyone knew the Jets were going to be big players for Le'Veon Bell, so that was...
Right, but I didn't know we were going to sign so many other pieces. Like, Le'Veon Bell is a big piece, but it's just like with the Browns. They signed a ton of big pieces all together. It wasn't just one thing.
Also, when you look at the Lions, too, they arguably had... have more talent already on their team than the Browns or the Jets. I mean,
right, they were a much better team.
You got the running back.
We're excited for improvement. Yeah. You guys were already decent.
I mean, yeah.
No, we weren't. We weren't. The Browns had a better record than the Lions.
You were better than...
Well, you're... I'd say the...
You're better than the Jets.
Lions are in a tougher division.
The Lions are picking 8 for a reason.
Yeah.
And it's not because they were better than the Browns, who were picking at 7.
I don't know. Is it the time for the Lions to draft a quarterback? Is the Matthew Stafford era over?
Trust me. It's been discussed.
I'm sure
plenty
it has
around
been.
Here.
For how but, many, what, 20 no. plus million dollars a year he's getting right now?
We didn't sign him to trade him, to quote a GM in New York. We just signed Stafford to the long deal, and this offense that we're bringing in, this is an old Minnesota Vikings offensive coordinator and Seattle Seahawk offensive coordinator, and if you can remember those teams... They are run heavy. So we are paying your quarterback $27 to $30 million over the next few years. Run heavy doesn't sound very good.
Also, so, Detroit Lions, not really known for their run game over the last, I don't know, decade.
No. No, they've not been running the ball really well. They've been...
And they have
making
the talent
strides.
To do so.
They
just,
do
they
now
seem to choose
for sure.
Not to, yeah. Kerryon Johnson. As you want to talk about, Kerryon
Johnson,
sleeper
two
picks.
First round offensive linemen
sleeper fantasy
drafted.
Picks for next year. Kerryon Johnson, I'd say, going to be up on that list.
As long as he stays healthy.
Yes, very much
a
so.
A good pickup.
Mm-hmm.
We signed Trey Flowers from the Patriots. Because why wouldn't we pick up someone from the Patriots?
I mean, and you overpaid by how much?
Honestly, looking at the numbers, not by a lot. That's always good. Overpay day one, but
yeah, anyone that just won a Super Bowl ring as well, it's just like you're
yeah.
You're
he's
tax on
he's
that.
Efficient. He's a Swiss Army knife on the line. He's young, so why not toss some money at him? You can plug him in for the next 5 years, all over your line. He's like that in between guy. He's 6'2", 265, so he's not big enough to be an interior lineman, but he's too big to be like a pass rusher. He's kind of like that in betweener, but you got to look out for him just because he's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's a playmaker kind of guy. Gets a lot of pressures.
Yeah,
he's in the backfield a lot.
Yeah, if you at least get someone to apply the pressure, that's a good position to fill.
Just watching the Super Bowl, because I had a feeling we were going to take him, I kind of paid extra close attention to him, and he was making a lot of plays. He was disruptive. It made me feel a lot better about it. And then when Joe Thomas came out this week and approved the signing, I...
That's a nice seal of approval right there.
If Joe Thomas likes it, mm-hmm. then I like it. We signed Jesse James from the Steelers. He's a tight end, and we need a tight end. And I liked him at Penn State. I don't know, nothing flashy, just efficient.
Yeah.
And can do it all. So, sure, yeah. Why not? But he was a day one signing, so we overpaid a little bit.
True, and you know he was good in the on the Steelers. I mean, obviously overshadowed by all their wide receivers, so he didn't get a lot of touches. But the ones he did, I mean, he made a count. That'll be a good pickup. That'll fill the Eric Ebron hole, even though he didn't get good until he left. But that's besides the point.
Talk about him. The other signing that we had was Justin Coleman. A primarily slot corner that we paid outside corner money to. This was kind of a shock to everyone in the world. It was $9 million a year for a slot corner. It was really strange signing. So I don't know if they're going to... if he's going to be kind of like one of those wild card defensive backs where you just kind of put them all over the place.
Just, yeah, shift them around.
I thought we had enough of those with Quandre Diggs and Tracy Walker and, yeah, those guys. I don't know anymore. It's getting ridiculous now with our defensive backs. They're very frustrating is what we've got going on. We have Darius Slay, who's an all-pro guy, and then we've got nothing.
Yeah.
I like Quandre Diggs. He's good. Tracy Walker's got flashes of potential, but then it's just like a – just drops off, right? All the talent just drops off right there.
Yeah.
So we needed some wide receiver help because we traded Tate.
Could always bring him back.
I would love it. Unfortunately, we used the money to sign Tate to go sign Danny Amendola.
Oh, day one. I didn't see that one.
So paid a little more.
Ooh.
So yeah, for $4 to $6 million, depending on incentives, we're getting Danny Amendola to come play slot receiver for us. What I'm seeing with these
Patriots
are Patriots. Three former Patriots. That Justin Coleman's a former Patriot, and of course Trey Flowers and Danny Amendola. I'm seeing a general manager and coach trying to shift the locker room mentality.
Wants to be the Bill Belichick 2.0.
He wants to get the losing the lion mentality out of there, I guess. I don't know. Caldwell and Patricia were two totally different coaches. The problem is that we didn't have a losing record under Caldwell.
Yeah, and that was a rough year one for this guy.
Not a good start, but he's a first-time head coach, and there's no excuse. They're just terrible.
Yeah. They should not have been as bad as they were last year. Not even close.
I think the Lions are at the start of a kind of a mini rebuild right now. I don't even know. The Stafford contract, like, handicaps them so hard because he's constantly 15 to 20% of your salary cap. So we've got to work with that until we can get rid of that, which is after next season is when it becomes manageable to let him walk. But I don't know. He's two years removed from being an MVP because he was going to be MVP if he doesn't hurt his hand.
Yeah. I mean, dude could throw. I mean, he can ball out big time, but
he's thrown for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns before, but that was with Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate at receiver. Kind of helps. And
yeah,
a pass-happy offense.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit, to say the least.
So we went out and got an offensive coordinator does not cater to Stafford's skill set. I'm frustrated as hell, which is why I'm so excited for the Browns next year.
Trading in the blue for the brown.
I will watch more Browns football than Lions football next year. I guarantee it. Red Zone will have more opportunities to show the Browns.
Lions. It's going to be nice actually seeing the Browns like actually get talked about and not like a jokey way. Some primetime games are going to be nice. Except, you know, outside of the one per year, like every team essentially is guaranteed. Like it's a long time coming. Say the least.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Probably what, the early 2000s?
I mean,
wasn't that it? Or the mid 2000s?
I mean, they had that one playoff year in like the mid 2000s, and then
with Braylon Edwards.
Yeah, and before and after that, it was just all bad news. So.
It was the old Browns then, wasn't it? Before they moved to Baltimore.
I mean. Yeah, I mean, they were still... Like
Kelly yeah. Holcomb was quarterback. And
no, that was return Browns. That was 99 they came back. So since this is the 20th season since they've returned. And then,
it was
yeah,
early 90s then.
About 18
was,
of those
I
seasons
just remember
have been
watching
bad.
Some old one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, next year is going to be awesome.
Yes.
I cannot wait for football next year just for the Browns.
Yeah, this is going back to cautiously optimistic, but still it's just like, man,
this is like cheating in Madden type stuff going on with this Browns offense.
Forcing the AI to make these trades.
Yeah, forced trades.
It's very true. Yeah.
I've been seeing that pop up all over the place, people proposing that trade in Madden, and it just like being 100% like rejected. It's like it barely moves the interest bar. And here we are.
You should be thanking Dave Gettleman right now.
No kidding.
But at least you can be excited for football now. I mean, I feel the same way. I haven't been excited to watch a Jets game in a while, and now I can be excited again. Well, I was excited last year to see what Darnold could do, but like I didn't expect us to contend.
Oh yeah,
it'll be good. Week one game was terrible.
Who for the Jets? You're talking about for Darnold?
Bad.
That was not a good start to his. That was definitely like, oh man.
The whole. I mean, it was an up and down season.
The Jets destroyed the Lions in Week One last year.
Wait, wasn't that?
Well,
the
that was
first
bad
game
for
you.
You.
Like
yeah,
picks?
We won like 45. Yeah, we
on
were
his first. Throw.
That's what.
And
it
then
was.
Right.
The Jets.
Okay. And then he was fine
after that.
Yeah, it was like 45-17 or something like that. But. It was an up and down season, as all rookies.
I mean, yeah,
Baker
looked start a rookie
really good, but that's rare.
One. And yeah,
I don't think Darnold surprised anyone last year. Everyone knew Darnold through Ints. He did it at USC.
Yeah,
he knew he was going to do it as a rookie. It's just,
but he still looks.
Calm
can
down.
He grow? That's the issue,
right? And you give him the best thing I can say about him, and a lot of people seem to agree, is that he seems to learn from his mistakes. So any major mistake he makes, besides like throwing interceptions, but like any major mistakes he made, he didn't really seem to make them again. He learned from his mistakes. So he's a very intelligent quarterback. So I'm really hoping that pushes him to, or pushes the team forward and his play forward. I think we'll be fine.
Should be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right.
We got a month and a half to the draft, and then 3 months.
The draft will be very interesting.
Yeah, it's gonna be exciting.
When's the XFL start?
Next year. AAFL is going on right now.
It's still going on.
I've
thought it ended.
No, it's
It was like 8 weeks long or something like that.
And then 2 weeks of playoffs, and then the championship. So yeah, I think it runs until like the end of April.
People quit talking about it.
Those games have been like massive blowouts, though. Like one team is always seems to be superior to the other.
Definitely see the talent pool, not much depth to it. So there's definitely Orlando seems to be the team to beat. So we'll see if they can carry.
But if guys
championship
put on good performances, it feels like it's just a show league. Like, just put on good performances, whether you win or lose, and then the NFL, at least you're getting looked at by the NFL.
Hey,
it's like the D League.
You're getting paid to play
and the NBA
football. I mean, if it wasn't for this league,
do they get big contracts?
Everyone gets paid the same. You get $250,000 a year, non-guaranteed. And then there's lots of incentives. Like
incentives.
For player, there's personal incentives, and then there's team incentives. So, yeah, there's a lot of like performance-based bonuses.
I guess if you're really young and you didn't make it in the draft and you're just trying to get seen by a team, that's not bad money.
I mean outside this, there's arena football and then there's like the CFL, so your options are really limited. So it's good for these guys that second chance or just went undrafted. Hey, you know, $250,000 a year
to
play
football. Too bad these guys can't go back to college and get paid to play football again.
Yeah, they're not even making as much money as they did in college, but hey, not everyone can. Not everyone can. But, all right, before we wrap this up, let's make predictions next season.
Ooh.
Record.
What?
We're not going to go playoffs, any of the blah, blah. Just straight team record next season.
What was the Jets record this year?
I want to revisit this.
Hang on.
I want to
see.
And then, like, in preseason.
Hey, we can do it now.
See how crazy it goes. Because the draft could, like, trades could happen at the draft and players can get released before the season starts.
That's true. I mean, yeah, for, I would say for now. I mean, yeah, there's going to be probably some ups and downs throughout the, you know, between now and September, but
I'm going to have the Lions go 6-10 again. They're going to repeat what they did last year.
Ouch. I mean,
without looking at the schedule. Yeah, I don't know what the schedule is.
Neither. I don't know what the Browns' schedule is.
I know
either.
Who they play and where they play them. I don't know when they play them.
Yeah, but I'm thinking Browns could go 10-6. Definitely not out of the realm of possibility. I was early predicting 9-7, but I think I could bump up one more, 10-6.
Don't go 14-2.
I was going to say 10-6 for you guys too, yeah, if not more. Like you guys have the, but you guys have the potential.
But yeah, I think 10.
You guys absolutely have the potential, though.
Oh yeah, like I
like you could go way more than 10-6
and the AFC.
Yeah, that's my point. Like yeah, that's my point. Yeah, you could easily surpass 10-6, but I think 10-6 is.
I think it's realistic. They could sweep their division. That is definitely within the realm of possibility. You can pick up 6 wins right there. So I think 10 is definitely attainable. Right.
My problem is that like the Jets had 4 fucking wins. So I mean realistically I could say 8-8. I would hope at least 9.
I could see 8-8.
I'll say 9-7 to be optimistic because I'd like to see us at least have a winning record. But after a 4-12 season,
I mean,
it's tough.
They will be at least better this year. I would say they will not get worse or be the same. I would say, yeah, 8-8, I think is reasonable for.
I'll say eight and eight. I hope 9-7, but 8-8 is more realistic.
Yeah, let's say. But yeah, we're still, either way. I mean, yeah, we're 6 months away. Yeah, like Ben said, we got the draft. We got preseason, got a long time, but yeah, these initial day one free agency, you know.
this is technically Wednesday is day one of the 2019-2020 NFL season.
Yeah,
so
literally day
and
one.
It only started a couple hours ago.
As of
4 p.m.
as of 4 hours
on Wednesday
ago.
The 13th is the start of the new NFL season, and the Browns have won the Super Bowl. So,
oh man. We're not ready to have that.
It's a great day one.
We're not ready to have that conversation.
It's a great day one. Yeah.
I don't.
And we have the draft to look forward to.
Yeah.
There's still like you guys could still we both the Jets and the Browns have high draft picks. So
I mean,
hey, don't forget
this could
us
be
Lions.
Good.
We're top 10 as
and,
well.
Wait, when I thought you guys, what is your draft pick?
We're 8.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you were in the top 10. My bad.
Yeah, Jets are 3. Browns don't pick in the first round.
Yeah,
and the
Browns
Lions
are
8.
Now picking.
Oh, that's right, because you traded.
Yeah,
right, okay.
4.
But you have a bunch of.
They have a bunch of late, like.
Don't you have a
bunch
of late round picks?
Now they have a second rounder, 1 second rounder. They had 2. They traded the one they acquired from another trade.
Right,
they traded that one away. So they have 1 second rounder. And then from like 3-7, they have
49th pick is the Browns.
So 49 is their
first.
Okay. And yeah. I think they have like a total of 9 picks, and then but they're
Like
that's from the
third
round on. So they're going to be a bunch of
you guys are backloaded.
Never heard of this guy, so it's
They're pieces.
Not
going to
be
that's
much
all that matters. It's pieces.
There's going to be no exciting picks, I'd say, out of the Browns draft. No, nothing sexy. Nothing like, oh man, they're really going for it. So yeah, watch that. Watch for number 49.
You had your day in the sun today, and then you'll
last
have your day.
20 years,
you'll have your day in the sun all season.
A lot of top 10 Browns picks, watching them come and go.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like a Browns draft with no drama, just them quietly showing up. Be like, hey, we're picking these guys. Okay, bye. Nothing. They got their team. They're set. They're set for that. No risky.
No way,
nonsense.
Man. This NFL draft right here. This is where you win that title. This is where you go from locking in the division to winning the Super Bowl. Is this draft right here?
Getting all those pieces you need.
The Colts drafted 2 All-Pro players back to back in the first and second round. Now, granted, it was the top 5 pick in the draft last year, but their second round pick was some linebacker no one really heard of. And Darius Leonard, destroyed the league. Like, he had so many more tackles than the next guy. It was ridiculous. So,
yeah,
you get that guy in your second with your second round pick.
Yeah, I mean, the second round pick, I don't see them trading, like, back into, like, the first round or maybe another second rounder. I think they're more than likely going to sit where they're at as far as draft picks. They might give up some of the later stuff if a good offer comes by, but I don't see them moving up any further than where they're at right now. Because, I mean, who they got the deal? I mean, who do you really want to let go to move up some draft positions? Maybe Duke Johnson, but I don't know if that conversation's
He's
ready to
definitely
be had yet.
On the block now.
I think it all comes down to Kareem Hunt's suspension. That will determine. Like, if he gets 8 games, then it's like, well, shit, we can't really get rid of Duke Johnson. But if it's like 3, then it's like, okay, that's a different conversation entirely. But it's
can't wait.
So fun. Exactly. Can't wait.
We'll definitely do a draft.
Yeah, we'll do a pre and post draft.
A pre-draft conversation. And
yeah,
I mean, hell, more of this podcast was football than video games.
Hey.
So
more football than video games. That's
just
sure.
Just imagine if Division
I'm not
two
denying
came out
that.
Last
I'm just
week.
Saying
it'd been a good hour of both. But yeah, we'll end all the football discussion and end this podcast for this week. So Ben, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at the Leroy OG.
Jake, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Vet the Assassin.
And you can find me on Twitter at Just Survive, on Twitch at The Just Survive. You can follow the show on Twitter at NWM Pod. You can also go to our website at NWMPod.com, which has links to all of our contact info, links to all of our past episodes, and of course, you can subscribe to our show there on iTunes, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher Radio, or your podcast app of choice, in which we always ask, go and write us a review. Let us know what you think of the show, because each and every week, we thank you for listening, and until next time, take care.
Peace.
See you.
Bye.